Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, and Books and Brews Pizzeria. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire arts and entertainment conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 72 of the Dave Holly Hour. Guess who I am? You are so smart. Yes, the marketing department just went out on a limb with a great budget, too, to come up with the Dave Holly Hour. And what is it about? Well, Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations. For those unaware, maybe listening from afar, thank you, first of all. What is the Sioux Empire? It's the Greater Sioux Falls, South Dakota metro area. We're right smack dab in the middle of the old continental U.S., you know? Yeah, we've got Interstate 90 and 29 that converge. Okay, so maybe not smack dab in the middle, but something in the middle is in South Dakota, according to the U.S. geological people. Anywho, so we've got great stuff coming up today. State Theater Executive Director Allison Wineland shares how the state has been restored to its magnificent look and what the future holds for the Old Majestic Theater. Then Bob Wendland and Luke Tatchy from Goodnight Theater Collective talk about how their group weathered the corona storm and what to expect in the months ahead. Quickly want to give you a heads up, however, about the Old Town Dinner Theater in Worthing. Regrettably, they need to cancel this weekend's shows due to an injury in the cast. They will, however, add an additional weekend, April 15th through the 18th. The box office staff will be working diligently over the next few days to accommodate the ticket exchange for patrons who had tickets booked this weekend, and they thank you in advance for your patience and wish their actor a speedy recovery.
Time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner, it's here!
So long, hump day and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty, we can't wait for Friday, so a day early, we start the party.
Well, we're really starting the party early right now because I want to give my toast this week to, first of all, they happen to be a show sponsor, and they happen to hire me for other things, the Sky Lounge and Tea. See, we're looking ahead to episode 75, which will come around on April 15th. Well, that Thursday, April 15th at 8 p.m. at the Sky, in a big room that they have behind it now available, we're going to be putting on the Vaudies. That's right, modern-day vaudeville. The Motley Crue is back at it with some magic, some music, and some merriment coming your way Thursday, April 15th. Then Friday, April 16th, I'm there for trivia. Then Sky's karaoke contest finals are Saturday the 17th, $1,000 up for grabs, and a special live Dave Holly Hour prior to the karaoke. So it's going to be three big, big, big nights. So thanks to Tanya and Jim and Beth. Cheers to you. Another thing we do on a weekly basis besides toast to Weekend Eve, we have a little shout out to something that's made me laugh, guffaw, smile, get a big heart, whatever.
Mention.
And this week it goes out to a very dear friend, Jason Curry Olson. He is one of the people that's involved in Wood Grain Brewery. Okay, and he's just so cool. Jason and I have been friends for, quite a while now. And the missus and I were at Severance Brewing on Tuesday night to take in some jazz. And by the way, Ritual was playing. They did a great job. Loved it. And we're just getting ready to go. And all of a sudden, this guy comes in, has his mask on because he's, you know, aware of the whole corona thing.
I see these bright eyes looking at me, and all of a sudden the arms come out for a hug, and it's Jason. And so he decides to sit down, have a beer with us as well. We just chit-chat, but you know, one of the great things about Jason is we've always had a great friendship. He is also a teacher, and he has a commitment to his students that he teaches, and he has a commitment as well to downtown Sioux Falls. You see, he doesn't just have a business downtown. He believes in downtown. He took part in every place during the burger battle, and now MASH Madness. He said that one of the things that he looked forward to the most when they opened Woodgrain was being able to host and have live entertainment. Then he went on mentioning that, you know, now, if you're not convinced that there's a lot of great entertainment in these parts, on a summer night, walk from, where the Levitt is, near Falls Park, and then walk up to basically where, Kello TV is. You know, right before that, you're going to get to Susie Masher, you're going to get to the Blarney Stone and all that. And he says, you know, on a summer night, you might hear up to 20 musicians, get full, and have a few libations. Well, thank you so much, Jason, for being a good friend, for your commitment to your students, and for believing in downtown Sioux Falls, brother. I love you, and you are this week's honorable mention. Coming up later in the show, Bob Wendland and Luke Tatchy from Goodnight Theater Collective. Up next, from the State Theater in downtown Sioux Falls, Executive Director Allison Weiland. On the Dave Holly Hour.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment.
605-334-1463. Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour, everybody. It is such a pleasure because I've been waiting a long time. We've emailed, we've done some messaging back and forth for a while, but, you know, when you take over a new venture such as being executive director of the State Theater, you might be busy for a while, but we are so glad to have Allison Weiland with us now on the Dave Holly Hour to talk about the State. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks
Excellent.
For having me
Oh,
on.
My pleasure. You know, we've been wanting and waiting, and I know that the guys from 605, Backlot 605, had you on, and I've been on their show. They've been on mine a few times, and film, movie nuts, and so forth, and it's just like, this was such a long-awaited project.
Yes.
And it went through so much to get to that point as well. So when did you get the opportunity to apply for and become executive director then in this whole midst where we've been years in the making?
Yeah, when I was brought on, you know, it was fundraising and development, and it was just me. So there was a lot to do. Definitely right now, it's Stephen Dahlmeyer and myself. He's our general manager. And yeah, so it's been 4 years since I've signed on to the project, mm-hmm. and it's been a crazy, amazing journey.
Oh, but such a great payoff in the end, though, with this,
Absolutely,
isn't it? Because
yeah.
I was in it during some of the tours during the reconstruction, but the refurbishing, and could tell. Plus, you know, I'd been in there as a kid.
Oh, okay, yeah.
A bajillion. First date story coming up in just a little bit. And realizing, you know, what a grand place it was and what a grand place it also should be. Mm-hmm. And so seeing the progression of it, but always kind of wondering, I'll be honest, you know, as a community person going, is this ever going to come about?
Yeah, and, you're not the only one,
right?
There,
yeah, and sure. But some big things happened. You know, yeah, you got the mortgage paid for, and then everything kind of started to flow after that, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, when anytime you take over a historic renovation like this, they're just massive projects. And then, you know, it's 24,000 square feet. Yeah. We're restoring it to how it looked in 1926. So there's just a huge long process involved. The good thing, you know, is they did have a lot of years to make sure that we were doing everything accurate and, you know, able to analyze everything, what's going to work, what's not going to work. And then, of course, you know, updating everything to meet the needs of 2021 and beyond.
Exactly. Yeah. So you had to do a lot of things in that regard, but still trying to stay true to its original look. But then also updating some things like having, you know, beer and wine available
now. Yeah. Yeah. And, which and is
some,
great.
Some really comfy seats, too.
Oh, they're unbelievable. Yeah. We knew we had to have seats more comfortable than you have at home. So,
exactly.
And they're pretty great.
Well, you know, and that brings up a great point. When you're especially getting into the movie business then, to have a cinema that is not going to have the, you know, you're not going to have what's out on the slate right now for movies per se.
We've had a handful of new releases.
Yeah. But, you know, you're not going to have the multiplex and so forth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of people, especially after this past year, have been sitting on the couch, mm-hmm. going to all the different streaming and so forth. So you really got a job ahead of you, a big task to make sure that people come back and do sit in those nice seats.
Yeah, I always think, you know, half of the ticket is for the movie. The other half is to come and see the building.
True.
You know, and the renovation. It is such an experience when you walk through the doors. And that really is the mission as the nonprofit, is to bring back that State Theater experience.
And what are people saying as they come through the doors now?
Oh, man. You know, it is, their eyes light up. It's, you know, they have so many stories and their memories. That's been a great part of all of this, is finally getting to like share it, mm-hmm. you know, with the public. We, you know, walk it every day and we're still like, oh man, this is so cool. Or I look at that. I didn't notice that before. Or, you know, it's just there's so much to it.
And you've got a really neat format in terms mm-hmm. of what you're doing with the movies. You know, you don't go and find that you're going to have a movie for like a week straight. Mm-hmm. You have different movies rolling throughout that time, despite just one screen.
Yes.
And I love it because I guess it makes me think, because one of the things, you know, growing up here in conservative Midwest and so forth, and you'd see people in movies, you know, speaking the irony of it, mm-hmm. that you'd see people in movies going to all these fun little theaters, or you'd go to a bigger city and you'd see that they were doing, you know, a Hitchcock thing,
yes.
which you happen to be doing
mm-hmm.
in the month of
yeah.
March anyway. And it was always kind of like, wow, wouldn't that be fun if we had a place like that? And now we have that place.
Yes.
And but you talk about the memories. I grew up down in Rock Rapids. And so the big thing when I was, you know, you got your license and you got your first date where you actually picked up the date, didn't have to walk together to a high school dance or anything. Mm-hmm. And I decide to date a young gal. She was the preacher's daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we were in youth group together, and she was, you know, quite chatty. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, we're going to go up to the State Theater, and boy, this is going to be fun because, you know, I might not even have to talk that much because she's so chatty. From Rock Rapids to the State Theater, she said one thing and one thing only. That's when we went past the 2,000-foot TV tower in Rowena. She looks up at it and she says, I wonder how much bird shit's at the top of that.
That's
so
great.
That was my first date, mm-hmm. and it was at the, you know, very first official one, and at the State Theater. But still a fun time. You know, that state is just, it's such a grand place. And kind of guide us through how long the whole process took and what the biggest stumbling blocks were along the way, and then now what you have in front of you to keep it and maintain it so that it works right.
Yeah. So, you know, it opened in 1926, and it was the grand, they call the movie palaces. And there was a handful in Sioux Falls mm-hmm. at the time. And, you know, it was a standard throughout the U.S. and Europe and all over the world, these movie palaces for silent film. You know, we have the original Wolitzer.
Yeah.
It's not restored or refurbished yet. That's another project.
Oh, I heard the word yet, though.
Someday, you know, and people would come, and you think about life in 1926. And it was their your escape, you know, True. Being able to go to a movie or, you know, see newsreels or, you know, the state also was on the vaudeville circuit. So there was some small stage production too. So, I mean, they're capturing that history. And also, you know, just it thrived for decades. So many people have connections there. They remember what they saw, you know, they remember their grandma taking them. And so, you know, it did decline just like a lot of these places did. And it closed in 1990, officially showing film. But it did serve the community for decades. And it thrived. It really did. It's a treasure. It's a jewel. So in the 90s, you know, downtowns were just kind of declining. And the big thing was these multiplexes in these malls, right?
Exactly.
You know.
14, 21 screens.
Yes, absolutely. And malls were cool, you know. And you went to the mall and you hung out and you had your afternoon. And so now it's kind of neat to see this all circle back. You know, our downtown especially is just thriving.
Incredible.
It's wonderful. I mean, even compared to a lot of major cities, it's happening here.
Yeah.
And so it's really fun to see that the State Theater is now, you know, going to be an active part of this process and the conversation. You know, you talked about kind of some stumbling blocks and things like that. We brought in great experts that know what they're doing. You know, it really is just coordinating everyone's efforts, getting everybody on the same page. But, you know, we worked with Conrad Schmidt Studios, and they are just recognized as one of the leaders of, you know, this restoration process. They did the cathedral. And it's crazy because you can't look at a photo from 1926 and get your color scheme. They're all in black and white. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to make out, you know, light fixtures because it's just kind of a blob. So, you know, we bring in, you know, Architecture Inc. and Journey Construction. And these people, you know, they know what they're doing. And, you know, working with a lot of customized things and special vendors. So everything was just, there's nothing cookie cutter. You know, everything, there's so much detail in a single wall sconce.
Yeah. So despite the fact that you had the physical building, you had the structure, you were really creating from scratch again, weren't you, in many ways?
Yeah, you know, they go back to get like the color and peel back layers and layers and layers of paint. I mean, the place mm-hmm. had been red, some turquoise, black. I mean, you really see the history through that too. But, you know, and I always want to say, if anyone has photos from inside the State Theater from, you know, back in the day, we always love to see them because that's a part of the history, too.
Exactly.
So we were able to work with Conrad Schmidt. They replicate the stencil and, you know, bringing all these elements. They just going back to that original design just works. It's beautiful and it's so different and ornate than anything that you see now.
So when you started, had you been like a historian, a theater historian, or anything along the line? Or what attracted you to it? And what made you say, you know what, Allison, you can do this?
Well, you know, I think growing up, I did theater my whole life. I'm a theater major at SDSU. And I think from a young age, you're just kind of a fundraiser mm-hmm. when you are in the arts around here. You're selling, you know, candy bars or you're just making it work.
Christmas wrapping paper.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. You get this mentality. You just make it work with what you have. And it's a skill that you use every day. You may not realize it, but you just make it work. So that was the biggest thing. Look at the tools that we have. What resources do we have? What people do we have? And how can we elevate this to the next level?
How do you describe the business model for this at this point? Because I think, you know, using the different types of films that you have, having some themes throughout a month, but not having it just be that throughout mm-hmm. the whole showing of the month. What's your label or description of that?
Well, you know, we had to make some major adjustments with COVID and everything. Mm-hmm. Our plan was to open at full capacity and, you know, show all these movies. It was like, okay, we're going to have to adjust this. So right now our seating is limited to 30% capacity. You know, everything's reserved. We block the seats around you. Masks are required. But, you know, we are a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So we really, you know, ticket sales are great, concessions are great, but there's so many people now that, you know, are donating, or they're, you know, rounding up their dollar to help us. And we have sponsors, corporate sponsors, to help us with some of these film series. And I just think we are going to grow as an organization. When people get in and they have this experience, it's just like, what else, you know, your mind starts to be like, what else can we do here?
So what else can you do here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I think it's a beautiful, the building is in great shape. You know, the main floor is open and operating. We still need to raise money to finish the balcony. There's a third floor apartment that we'd love to turn into a micro cinema. You know, get that second screen in there, show some more unique film, be able to rent that space out. So there's a lot of possibilities. I mean, as far as even just film education, communication, I was giving a tour to fifth graders and I kept on referencing film. This is where they showed film. And finally, at the end of the tour, we're in the projection room and the kid raises his hand and says, what's film?
Yeah, true.
And it wasn't that long ago when that's how it was all done. And so it's a great education.
So, yeah, obviously there's going to be a lot of educational programming to it and so forth. I do have to ask you, we're talking about the third floor apartment and, you know, refurbishing that micro cinema and so forth. But my question is there an office that's right above the marquee? Because I remember taking a tour one time and it's a tiny little room. But I thought, boy, wouldn't this be a cool place to have an office?
Yes. And so... Right at that marquee level is the office space kind of right now. We have some makeshift cubicles, and that's where Stephen and I work. But we have, you know, 24,000 square foot office. We kind of bebop around. Yeah. We got a lot of space. But that third floor, so we've removed the walls, cleaned it up, new windows. Again, we still need to fundraise to get this open. But it's a great space. It's so cool. I mean, you can show off the restoration of everything that's happened on the main level, but you get people up to that third floor, they're like, wow, this is cool. It's like, am I supposed to be here? Like speakeasy-esque, you know?
Right. You know, I think one of the things that really pumped up the community about this again, even just a few years ago, was when the marquee was lighted up again.
Mm-hmm.
New signage, you know, it didn't go back to the old style. Yeah. So you kept the original marquee, but you updated to digital and just a, you know, that's a showpiece in and of itself for downtown.
Yeah. You know, it's not the original marquee that was there in 1926, but it was put in like early 40s. And it's iconic in its own right. I mean, you Google Sioux Falls, the State Theater marquee is one of the images that pops up. It's crazy to go and look at, you know, old postcards, but It's in the background of a lot of photos, that's for sure.
Well, so we talked about, you know, people coming in with their memories and so forth, and you're looking for old photos.
Mm-hmm.
What about photos right now? Are people just snapping away as they come in? It's like, got to get a picture of me near the marquee or the box office?
Yes, you know, we see it outside. We're using the box office in that front, so I'm sure I'm photobombing a lot of photos. but they wait, you know, for the movie to come on, whether it was Breakfast Club or Rocky or whatever, and then they get this photo, and it's so cool. I mean, even the marquee, it's like with my daughter, it's like, well, that's where we're going to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, of course she's a frequent flyer at the State Theater, but it's just so cool. It's so special.
So this summer, as some things loosen up again, obviously you're going to be planning on opening up more seating. But beyond that, you know, from the outside world of the megaplexes opening again at some point, how do you feel you're going to compare, or do you not even want to put yourself in a comparison with them because you are the State Theater and it's a different entity?
Well, I think we, you know, we're running a business, so we have to be different. We have to be unique. And we want to make sure that we're complementing, you know, what the other theaters are doing, you know, but making sure that we're bringing in unique programming. And there's some movies or some silent films, you know, we may only have 20, 30 people in the seats, but those people coming in are moved by it. They've never seen it on a big screen, or, you know, something clicks there. So we're really, it's exciting to think about. There's so much content that needs to be seen on a screen. So we want to make sure that we're doing something a little different, offering things different. You know, hopefully We'll be able to do things like Q&As, panel discussions, bring in some filmmakers, or even just have some local experts come in, you know, talk about show Jaws and talk about great white sharks, you know, and just being able to add, you know, to the movie itself and get some history there.
What's the movie you want to see there?
Oh, my goodness. Well,
okay,
what
are the movies?
So my choice is actually coming up here pretty soon. We're going to be showing one of my favorite movies. It's Jesus Christ Superstar. I've loved it since I was a kid. I've never seen it on the big screen. And I'm like, this is the musical, you know, I want to see here. And I want people to see it because I, you know, I've made so many of my friends and people watch it because I just think it's so groovy.
So do you have a suggestion box? I mean, are people able to come up to you and say, hey, Allison, you know, have you thought about getting this movie in
here? Love that. Yeah. Absolutely. And right now we're running a staff pick series. So
excellent.
It turns out when you work in a movie theater, you talk about movies a lot. And it's so fun to hear, you know, just all the different genres that our employees are into. You know,
True.
It's very diverse. It's hard when someone asks you what your favorite movie is, you kind of have to like stop and think. And because you might have a handful, but it's like, what do you want to see in here? Mm-hmm. You know? So what would be yours?
Baseball movies.
Baseball movies.
Oh, yeah.
Any baseball movie?
The Natural, Field of Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
There's a really good one with Kevin Costner that I like called For Love of the Game.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that they all get me. I think, you know, because as a little boy, you know, growing up, you're thinking of being in the World Series and all this, and then reality comes along that, you know, your chances and anybody's chances of ever doing something like that. But there is such a romance to those movies. You know, sports movies can be in general, but for me, even though baseball was the least of my sports that I participated in, it's the one that I love as an adult, love watching, knowing more about history of the game, just besides, you know, a good story.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's so many out there, and it's always a tough time to figure out, okay, which one am I going to watch now? Okay, Major League, because I'm in the mood to laugh, or Bull Durham, and so forth. But I think the one I'd really like to see for the cinematography there would be The Natural.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Noted.
Okay.
It's so, you know, what's cool, though, about those movies is just the seeing the field. You know,
true.
You can, and just seeing like all of the different shots, it's to see it on a giant screen.
Yeah.
You know, we have a beautiful projector, 4K laser. It is wonderful. So it just is sharp, and it'd be fun to see that. All
yeah,
right.
Definitely. All right. Well, can't wait for that one. what about next month? You know, we're ending up March here. You've been showing the Hitchcock films, which are just amazing anyway. Some of the best cinema ever produced, I would say.
Yes.
But what about April? Any theme or anything?
Well, we're doing something really fun on April Fool's Day, April 1st.
Ah, yes.
We're going to show a mystery movie. We're not going to tell anybody what it is. You just come and you're in for a treat. So we're really excited to start, you know, really promoting that.
Right.
And it's just kind of a fun thing that we can do, you know. We'll see if anybody comes. But it's, you know, I can tell you that it's a PG movie. And other hint would be it's a mystery. So
okay,
we're really excited.
We'll have fun with that for sure. In the meantime, you know, as this whole project was being talked about, you know, from 25 years ago even, as to what would happen, what would become of it. There were so many, you know, thoughts and ideas being brought about. And now that it's back to being a movie theater, you know, obviously you've got the educational part you can throw in and so forth. But what other type of programming might we end up seeing? Will we see something on stage? Will we see, you know, different groups coming in and so forth?
Yes. Yeah, so for this phase, the stage, the, you know, it's not a grand stage, but it's very limited in what we can do on it now. The biggest thing is we would ADA compliance. So getting that all in. So we can do some, I guess we can say light stage work. So whether it's a speaker or you want to do like a TED talk, rent it out, we're available for rentals. You can come in, you know, corporate rentals or just a private rental. So that's really fun in those possibilities. I would love to have a sing-along in there soon, or, you know, get a get some flash mob. I mean, we really get to explore, and this next couple of years, we're just kind of, I always say it's like throwing spaghetti at the wall. Let's see what sticks.
Sounds like a deal. In the meantime, I always like to end up with a couple of questions, pretty routine. One is, when you're not involved in the entertainment world, what do you like to be entertained by?
Oh my goodness. I have two awesome daughters, and my husband is a piano player. So we do lots of music at our house, lots of plays, lots of dress up. So we are, every dinner is a dinner theater. And so that keeps me pretty entertained.
Other hobbies then?
Other hobbies. Oh my goodness. So I love softball.
Really?
Yes, and I'm so excited.
What position you play?
Yeah, first.
Okay.
First, yeah. And I'm excited for our league to start up again. You know, we took a break last year, but it's just so fun, especially to a lot of women my age and moms getting together and having a good time playing some softball. So I'm excited to smell the dirt and the grass and get back at that.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Allison Weiland, Executive Director of the State Theater. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. You will be a repeat customer.
All right. Excellent.
We'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation, 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
A Sioux Falls Stage Awards special distinction for promoting the arts. Here is Dave Holly.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour. I tell you, it just gets better and better, doesn't it? Here we were speaking of the State Theater. Now we're going to talk about live theater. Joining us from Goodnight Theater Collective, Luke Tachi and Bob Wendland. How are you, gentlemen?
Hey, we're good. Thanks for having us, Dave.
Yeah, you know, always a pleasure. I've had you on separately before.
Yes.
But first time to have you here together is, you know, we had a strange last year,
sure,
to say
did.
The least.
Yes.
And so Goodnight Theater did what it could. And you put out some virtual shows, and then you also went outside a bit. Now it looks like we've got a new season, and you were able to say we've got a new season instead of, you know, a halt or anything along that line.
Yes.
Yeah. So where are we going to start this off at then, Bob?
Oh, so much to talk about.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. You know, you kind of touched on the last season. You know, our season five, we had some big plans that obviously because of the pandemic, we sort of had to shift. And, you know, I'm really proud because we were able to still do most of what we put on the calendar. We just had to adapt. We didn't feel comfortable bringing live audiences together. Mm-hmm. At the time, we were looking to May. And in May, we're going to start bringing some live audiences together outside. And we'll talk about that, I'm sure. But season five, we did a lot of adapting. We sent a lot of videos to our, you know, to our subscribers and to, you know, any folks who purchased a ticket for any of those shows. So we still got to do the cabarets, and we added some virtual variety shows as well on top of that. I think maybe the only shows that we had to altogether cancel, we were able to either replace with something else, or we've now rescheduled them for sometime before next season. So, yeah, just constant pivoting for the last 12 months. But we're excited.
The most overused word of the pandemic.
Yes. Yeah.
And Luke, did all that virtual stuff fall on you then? Because you tend to be more of the technical person.
Yeah.
Behind this and producer. Yeah.
Yeah. We joke that I weirdly felt like I had to work a lot harder when we were in the pandemic and moving everything to virtual. It felt like it was way more work because we did added those outdoor garden parties that were really fun last fall, where we worked with some other theater and music organizations to sort of collaborate and help each other out. But yeah, the editing and the doing sound but for recording, where you can be a lot pickier because you can rewind and listen again, was very tricky. And I'm really pumped to not have to do it anymore. frankly, the live experience is way more exciting. But yeah, it was a wild time. And we had a lot of fun internally with our performers to actually get them to still be able to do what they love to do. But we're excited to have an audience again because I think that we miss that connection that we've had in the past. And we're really excited to show the audience the things we've changed. Namely, the venue is a big change and more live music, live instrumentalists, which is we did that for the first time in a cabaret in January. And it was very exciting to be there in person. So we're hoping that our audiences, when they come back, will feel the same way. When we do that in June. So.
All right. And in the meantime, in May, we're going outdoors, correct?
We are, yes.
Excuse me, I have to get it in. I think that this is just going to be a fantastic season. So go ahead, Bob.
Yes. So this will be our final musical of season 5. And we're doing The Fantastics, which is a classic musical from late 50s, early 60s. One of the most, if not, I don't know if it still holds this title, but at one point in time, it was the most produced musical in the history of musicals. And so it's been done over and over and over again. It's a cast of 8 people, and 2 of the people in our cast have been in this show before. And it's just, it's a classic story. It's a, you know, love story, but it's very bare bones. Mm-hmm. The story is not super complex, I would say. And so it provides the producing company, it provides the director, it provides the creative team and the actors, frankly, a lot of freedom to embellish the story and to sort of make it their own. We've started rehearsals and I'm already super excited about what the cast and what our director, Rebecca Merriman, have come up with and
like
how
an
we're going to tell the story.
Yeah. It's like an all-star cast of Goodnight faves.
Oh, well,
so,
give us the all-star names.
Yeah. I mean, well, this guy.
Of course.
Yeah.
We've got Brittany Hansen, who hasn't performed in a long time, so we're pumped to have her back. Mm-hmm. Simon Floss.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody loves Simon.
So there's dancing involved?
There will be some dancing.
Well, Rebecca's directing, so they'll be dancing.
True, yes. Choreographer and then Simon.
Right, yeah. Simon dances whether he's choreographed to or not.
Exactly.
So,
we got Jess Johansson, who's been with
us
forever.
Yeah.
One new performer, Alex Thongvan, who just performed recently at
the community theater.
In Odd Couple, and she'll be joining us. It's crazy. We cast her last summer, and now we're finally getting to work with her almost a year later. And then rounding out the cast is three people who get to be goofballs, which will be fun. Wade Gaymar, Maren Engel, and Nick Jackson. So it's quite the crew, and we've got a live band. Amy Morrison's heading that up. It'll be piano and harp, which will be fun. It'll be a really good show.
Really beautiful music, and it is outside.
Try to remember time in September, soon it's going to rain. I can feel it, and just a. Boy, I think since I've actually seen it live, it's probably been 35 years.
Yeah.
at least. So I'm looking forward
it's
to
time.
It. Yeah,
it's
it
time.
Is definitely
yes.
time. And then, you know, I went to some of your outdoor shows last year.
Yeah.
And such a great way to go about that. Mm-hmm. And especially thinking back to the way that I have seen the Fantastics produced. I think it lends itself perfectly to being outside.
A lot of the themes really lend themselves really nicely to the outdoors. And the pavilions, the Palladino Sculpture Garden is just such a special little place. It feels really, you know, quaint and intimate. It's fun to be surrounded by art while you're creating art.
True.
And so being in that sculpture garden with those sculptures and outside of a building that is certainly known for, you know, the way that it uplifts the arts community, I think will be really exciting to.
Well, we look forward to that. Yeah. But then we look forward beyond that.
Yes.
What starts off the next?
Well, that's not even the end of this seemingly very long season. We'll have one more cabaret that will be our first cabaret with an audience since last summer, which is exciting. An iconic cabaret that'll be in June. It'll basically be like the Icons of Music with five amazing vocalists. We'll have a live band. They are an incredible rock band. Yeah. You are not going to be disappointed. And that'll be at the Belvis in June in the Pavilion. And then we are mulling over some options to do a show over the summer as well. So stay tuned on that because we can't stop.
We can't stop. Yeah.
And then
when you're creative, you're a creative.
I mean, right. Yeah. Is it a disease? Maybe. I don't know. And then the fall, September will be the official start of season six. Yeah. It'll just sort of blend right into the new season. But we've got our biggest season ever. We decided we're going to come back, we're just going to come back big and cross our fingers. And we've got great titles. Our performers are chomping at the bit to get back to it and have someone actually be there to cheer them on. So it's going to be incredible.
What did you guys learn through the pandemic, as I like to call it?
Oh gosh, I think more than we were planning to, that's for sure. You know, Luke kind of touched on this, but we learned a lot about things that we hope we never have to employ ever again. But I think beyond that, what I think one of the things that was most humbling maybe that we learned was how strong our performer base is and how devoted and committed to Goodnight they are. We were able to be pretty transparent with them, I think, from the beginning. About the impact that the pandemic was taking on Goodnight. I mean, obviously, just from the outside in, you can tell that any live entertainment organization was going to be hit hard, especially when it started to become very clear that this was not going to wrap up in, you know, April of last year. Like this was going to take a year. This was going to take some time. And so, you know, when Martha and Luke and I were, you know, having meetings and having discussions offline about, you know, what are we going to do next? How are we going to, you know, keep our actors busy, keep our fans, you know, entertained, and keep our company open, to be completely frank, pretty much right away, we realized that we needed to pull our, you know, closest people into this process and get their feedback and get their, you know, ideas and their thoughts, and our closest people being our, you know, collective members and our guest artists. And I mean, unanimously, they all said, whatever you need us to do, we'll do it. You know, however we can support the company, we love Goodnight. We need it to survive this. Because, and I would say that was, you know, maybe the most important thing that I learned, at least, was that this organization that we started, this company that we started, you know, 5 years ago now, has become as important and maybe even more important for some of our collective members and our guest artists as it is for us. And that, I mean, is humbling and inspiring. And it gets you through something like a, you know, pandemic for sure. So
Not simply a hobby, not simply a side gig. It's passion for you guys, no doubt about that. And for the players that are involved. That collective has grown quite a bit. How many have actually, you can put on their resume that they have performed or been a part of the Goodnight Theater Collective now?
Oh, gosh.
Well, we have, is it 10? Or, yeah, it's 10 collective members. Not including you and Martha, who also hop on stage now and again. And then this past season, I think we had a total of 30 to 35 performers, period. And we've now introduced an operations team. So a few of our performers have sort of graduated to new responsibilities, in addition to still performing, because we need them to perform. And, gosh, over the last five seasons, I would say probably like,
I mean, maybe upwards of 50.
50 plus,
The fun thing about it is that, I mean, very few people, we can maybe count on one hand, maybe two, how many people have performed with Goodnight and then have chosen other options. And most of those other options are moving out of Sioux Falls. There are very, very few people who have performed with us who aren't still performing with us.
Not a lot of one and dones.
No.
Most of the time it's a do one and then next year they're suddenly doing three or four.
Well, it makes it nice in that regard, but I also know that you guys are always looking for new people too.
Yeah.
And how are auditions, or do we have auditions coming up yet?
Yeah, so we audition once a year.
Right.
And typically in July. We haven't finalized the date yet, but we do know that that'll, you know, be the time frame again this mm-hmm. year. So for the 8 shows, the 4 cabarets and the 4 full musical productions that we'll be producing next year, we'll have auditions in July and do casting that same month as well. So everyone who will perform in our 6th season will know what they're doing and sort of what schedule timeline they're committing to in the summer, which I know at least so far has worked really well for all of our collective members and for ourselves and our creative teams too, because they get sort of that extra time to really ruminate with, you know, the cast that they're going to be working with and really start to flesh out some of those concepts and those big ideas that our directors always like to bring to the table. So, yeah.
And Luke, you were talking about the fact that you've got some new members in terms of organizational.
Yes.
With the operations part of it and so forth. How is that going to work? How is it going to be different from what the three of you, you two and Martha, have been doing since the beginning?
Well, the nice thing is it's basically taking some of those responsibilities off of us. I joked at our sort of launch meeting we had the other night with them that it's really benefiting me the most. It's a lot of stuff that I'd be doing otherwise. Amy Morrison's going to be our band leader, which is really a new invention as of January mm-hmm. when we first did a live band with the cabaret. And so she's going to be wrangling the instrumentalists, probably transposing and putting together some music for some of the more obscure music choices we make. Yeah. And that'll be sort of her responsibility is instruments. Rebecca Merriman has been choreographing right. for us for years. And so it's now more of an official capacity. So we can lock that down because she's awfully good at it. Yeah. And then Haley Schmidt will be joining as our guest experience coordinator. So she'll be managing front of house stuff. Mm-hmm. She'll be basically making patrons feel as amazing as they should feel
yeah.
uh-huh. every time they walk in the door. So it's some new responsibilities and some old, and we're really happy to have those three ladies joining the leadership crew.
So first of all, does this mean you actually get like a nap occasionally now?
I don't think so, because I'll fill it with other
okay,
stuff.
Yeah, I kind of figured that might be the case. The second thing was then, when am I ever going to get my voice lessons in with Amy
yeah.
if you're going to have her that busy?
It's true.
Yes.
But, you know, that's been the thing that I talk about this a lot, you know, having grown up in Rock Rapids and then moving here about 25 years ago now, and seeing the progression of the city, seeing the progression of the arts and entertainment community. And I can pinpoint going back to your first show and seeing it. And because we just had, we were sitting next to somebody at another event that night, and they said, "Hey, I'm going to go down to this Good Night Theater Collective. Want to come along?" Oh, yeah, sure. Let's go do that. And just blown away.
Oh, yeah.
And so thank you for not just, you know, bringing us some arts and entertainment, but bringing us some really quality arts and entertainment.
Thanks,
and I can kind of say that that was about the time, too, that even more things started to come about. We
yeah.
saw the Monstrous Little Theater come around mm-hmm. and we saw other venues mm-hmm. being available to be performed at. And so thank you, you know, for that and for having such a great crew to grab from. You know, do you sit there and pinch yourself sometimes and say, you know, this was just kind of something we were going to do and didn't really know how many people were going to show up? And
yes.
Now you've, with the exception of, you know, that bad P word that we talked about.
Right.
with the exception of that, that, you know, you were having to add shows because mm-hmm. you were selling out. So you have to be just overjoyed with what this collective has done.
Yeah, I mean, I'll use the same word again. It's definitely humbling.
And I think before the bad P word started, we were having such a high. Just what you said, people were really excited about what we were doing. The last show we were able to do before the pandemic was an original musical, and it sold out. And that just seems like a few years ago, people would have maybe been averse to the phrase original local musical.
True.
And they're bought in now. They'll be able to see it if we're doing it. And so I think that says a lot about the talent that we bring in and sort of the Goodnight family, whether that's the guest artists and the performers who keep coming back and who are we now count as like great friends, to the patrons who keep showing up. And we're really excited to see them come back.
Well, and we're really hopeful that most of them back.
Yeah.
You know, the TV's been nice, but what was your favorite virtual show that you did?
Oof. That's a tough question. We did a lot of them.
I would say that the most fun was maybe the last one we did. Nick and I had a blast writing the Valentine's show and writing all the just absurd, really dumb comedy. we were really happy with how it turned out, even if maybe a dozen people saw it. We have no idea. We'll never know. But we liked it.
Well, you know, as a member of the Midtown Coffee Radio Hour, we got to do some of those skits as for our Valentine's, so sure appreciate it. So, Bob, what did you like? What was one of your best shows?
I mean, I think the work that Nick and Luke put into the two variety shows that we produced was, I mean, it was just next level. And while we're certainly not planning to do a virtual variety show anytime soon, I think it untapped I mean, we always knew Luke could write musicals, but I think it also untapped sort of a new avenue with Luke and with Nick and maybe starting to bring some of that style of entertainment to our cabarets in particular. So I think you'll probably see some of that in our Christmas cabaret for this coming season at the very least. And, you know, just to continue to elevate that experience and to make those cabarets just really stand out more and more.
And speaking of the cabarets, I think that going virtual offered us an opportunity to test out this new format that you and Amy really brought to life in January with a Royal Cabaret, which was really impressive to see in person. Maybe wasn't as impressive as watching it on TV, but I promise you it was next level. It was on a whole other level. And so being able to sort of recreate that format in June with an actual audience, it's just going to feel like the Beatles are playing, I'm pretty sure. So.
And we've been doing cabarets from the beginning. You know, our first season was strictly cabarets, and it's been fun to sort of dream about that concept again. Because, you know, for 4 years now, we haven't really reinvented that wheel. The cabarets are pretty formulaic, and they're highly entertaining because, you know, we have four incredible musicians. But we now sort of have been able to add the next element, you know, the choreography with Rebecca, and now also the live instrumentation that Amy is sort of coordinating for us, with just some of the most impressive
hidden gems that you didn't know about.
Yeah.
We can sing the praises of Eric Miller on guitar all day long.
Yes. I mean, there's nothing he can't do. So it's, you know, Zach Dresch played the drums and Matt Morrison played, you know, I don't know, 18 different instruments.
I was just
going
to say, you know, Matt's one of those. I think you could invent an instrument, give it to him and give him like an hour and he'd have something. Amazing. So that's been a great thing that you've had such amazing talent. You know, so we miss some shows. I do want to know, there's one that I was really looking forward to. Want to know if it's coming back anytime, Chicago.
Yeah. So
because you missed out on the timing for the rights to it or something, didn't you?
Yes.
So that was probably the biggest sadness from the pandemic was we were a couple months into rehearsing. The cast was learning all this really incredible choreo and music, and then we sort of had to shut it all down. So obviously we have every intention of restarting that, since Rebecca especially had put in so much work into the direction and the choreography before we had to stop. So definitely don't want to waste that. And we had tried to reschedule it, and Broadway kind of complicates that when there's a tour, the rights can be held up until they feel confident about their schedule. And so we have every hope of doing it in the future, but as of right now, it's still held up. So it might take another year before we can revive that, but we have every intention of doing it.
Yes, I think if Chicago is something you're excited about, then maybe season 7 will be the season for you.
Well, you know what? 7's a lucky number
there
for
you
me.
Go.
So
there you
that's
go.
Fine. Yes. It pays off well at the roulette
2022,
wheel.
2022, here we come.
All right. Always a great time. But Luke, you know, besides being so heavily involved here, you are the publisher of Sioux Falls Stage.
Yes.
And you have a new issue out now.
It's true. Yeah, it's a really fun and unique one, actually. It fully features youth performing artists. The cover roundtable is with four kiddos who are doing really cool things in their sort of discipline. Interviews with DAPA, the youth orchestra, some USF improv troupe folks. Just a lot of really fun, exciting things to look forward to in the future with a lot of people who are dabbling in dance, music, comedy, theater, the whole works. So I think a really fun, exciting, and different issue than what you're
all
used
right
to.
Well, and where can we find this?
Well, you can subscribe on the website, which will help support the mission of the magazine. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's also available for free all around town, depending on how quickly I can get it delivered.
Right.
Zanbro's, the Pavilion, and Shriver Square, weirdly the ones that I always bring up, because that I feel like I get to them the fastest, maybe.
Yeah. All right. And always a good read. That is the my favorite publication, because I truly read it cover to cover.
Yeah.
I don't miss a beat in that one. And thank you. Not only that, but, you know, it was nice that you included Vaudis in the winter issue.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that. But also your editorial in that particular one about supporting the local. And, you know, everybody that it means that you're supporting, that was fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate it as well, because, you know, we are in this as a community, and it's a fun community, and arts and entertainment in these parts growing leaps and bounds, mm-hmm. and partly due to you guys as well. So
thanks, Dave.
Thank you for joining us once again. Great to have you on at the same time.
Yeah, this is fun.
I appreciate it. Thank you much. We'll be back, Dave, to wrap up the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again for listening, for the downloads, the streaming, the social media shares, likes, follows. Don't forget you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. To learn more about the show, check out DaveHollyHour.com. For more about the other entertainment I'm involved in, check out DaveHolly.com. But don't worry, you go to one, you can get to the other from it, okay? Thanks again to my guests, State Theater Executive Director Allison Weiland and Bob Wendland and Luke Tenchi from Goodnight Theater Collective. Plus, thanks to Woodgrain, Frontier Bank, and Aguafresh for allowing us a great area to record. Remember, I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by The Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, and Books and Brews Pizzeria. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.